Before we pray tonight, let's look into the scripture. I think I told you last night that we are wrapping up a series, didn't I? And I was mistaken. We're going back and looking at something again tonight, which is, Liebeth will correct me on this if I'm wrong, I trust, a simile. Simile uses as well as like. Okay. We have a figure of speech here. God says of himself, I'm like this, or I'm as that. And he's by that, he is conveying, he's packing a lot into a little bitty amount of space. You know how those things work, how parables work, how figures of speech work. You can start to unpack that and it's just wonderfully full. Well, another one of these is found in the book of Isaiah. If you would join me there in chapter 8, and we'll look at something that the Lord says through his servant Isaiah. This may actually be a simile, it may actually be a metaphor. Don't you wish you had an English teacher up here? Anyway, or at least a good editor in the house. No. Verse 9 of Isaiah, we'll just start right there, of Isaiah 8. Be broken, O peoples, and be shattered, and give ear, all remote places of the earth. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Devise a plan, but it will be thwarted. State a proposal, but it will not stand, for God is with us. For thus the Lord spoke to me with mighty power. And mark that in your Bible. And he instructed me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, you are not to say it, it's a conspiracy, in regard to all that this people call a conspiracy. And you are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. It is the Lord of hosts whom you should regard as holy, and he shall be your fear, and he shall be your dread. Then he shall become a sanctuary, but to both the houses of Israel a stone to strike and a rock to stumble over, and a snare and a trap for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many will stumble over them, then they will fall and be broken, they will even be snared and caught. And we'll stop right there. There's enough. Because the thought before us is that he is a sanctuary. That's a metaphor, right? He is a sanctuary. Now, we've talked about sanctuaries before, and you know what they are. They're places of refuge, havens of safety. We have right across the street from us, over the neighbor's yard, there is the Alazan Bio Wildlife Management Area. It's a WMA. And for a while there, hunting was forbidden. So it was, in truth, a sanctuary. Then they started relaxing that bit by bit. You can come in with a bow. You can come in with a black powder. You can shoot with this. And then they have controlled hunts. And the poor animals are scratching their head. Wait a minute. I thought this is a place of refuge. Well, it isn't across the street in our front yard. They're bedding down. They're eating our plants. They're making themselves at home. Because they know they're safe in our front yard. Right? And they may be safe in your front yard. Whatever it is, a squirrel, a deer, all manner of wildlife is out there. A haven, a place of safety. Now, he's not saying this to everyone, is he? He says to some, I am a sanctuary. But to others, he's something else. And this is one of those interesting places where it's an either or. It's one of these situations that here's a picture for you and here's another picture for you. And it is almost an invitation. Pick the picture. Which one do you prefer? Which would you rather have? And it's when you put it that way, it's fairly simple. Oh, I'd rather have a sanctuary any time rather than just tripping over something, something that'll make me fall down. I don't want that. So, no, I'll take the sanctuary. Well, there's a situation in this that we need to consider. We could put it this way. You know, Paul's, let me borrow a phrase from Paul, all thing to all men. And you know what Paul meant by that, but we can't say that about the Lord here. He's not all thing to all men. He's this to one man, or he's this to another man. He is either to them a sanctuary, or he is to be a rock to stumble over and a stone to strike. Now, here's an illustration of the one. In the book of 2 Chronicles, and you may just want to write the reference down and look it up later for yourself, over in chapter 14, we meet a king by the name of Asa. And Asa had the experience where Zerah the Ethiopian came out against him with an army of 1 million men, and he had 300 chariots out front, or maybe in the back or somewhere. He had them with him. And he came to Maresha, and Asa went out to meet him, and they drew up in battle formation in the valley of Zephathah at Maresha. And then Asa, listen, he called to the Lord his God, and he said, Lord, there is no one besides thee to help in the battle between the powerful and those who have no strength. So help us, O Lord, our God, for we trust in thee, and in thy name we have come against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. It looks like bravado, doesn't it? Here's a fellow it's got some chutzpah. He's got some real, see, he's got some guts. He's got some courage. Well, when you read the story and it looks like he's just saying, oh God, what are we going to do? Here's an army twice as big as ours. You've forbidden us really from getting chariots and horses, and so we've not been stocking up on that over much, but he's got these 300 chariots, and here they are. And he says, Lord, we have no strength, so help us, O Lord our God. What is he doing? He's running into the sanctuary, isn't he? He's taking hold of the horns of the altar, to borrow another picture from another story. And he's saying, oh God, we dare not flee, we dare not go, we dare not move unless you come to our aid. Now, did I stop reading? I think maybe I did. So the Lord routed the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them as far as Gerar. That's down where the Philistines are. And so many Ethiopians fell that they could not recover, for they were shattered before the Lord and before his army. And so they carried away very much plunder. And that is an illustration of calling the Lord your sanctuary. And so as we go back to the eighth chapter of Isaiah, we hear something of this boast. Now listen to this. It's chapter 8, verse 9. Be broken, O peoples, and be shattered. Give ear, all remote places of the earth. Gird yourselves, yet be shattered. Gird yourself for battle. Come on. And yet be shattered. Gird yourselves, and yet be shattered. What's he saying? Let me make this a bit more contemporary. When I worked for Danny Powell on a framing crew, it's just one of those things where you get this little workplace patois, this little kind of a sing-song kind of relationship between your fellow workers, and you kid each other and you jive around a bit. And every once in a while someone makes a fake swing at his co-worker, and the guy says, don't hurt yourself, you know, as if his six-pack there was cast iron. Don't hurt your hand. You've heard this? Have you ever hurt your hand on somebody? Has someone ever put that to the test? Well, anyway, what's the guy saying? He's saying, go on, give it your best shot. Come on. Swing away. This is what Isaiah is saying here. He is crying out to all the peoples, oh, peoples, be broken, be shattered. Now, go ahead, gird yourselves for battle. Come on. Bring it on, if you will. But you're going to come here, and you're going to be shattered before the army of God. You're going to devise a plan, verse 10, and it's going to be thwarted. You're going to state a proposal, and it's not going to stand. And if you want some encouragement on that, just go a few chapters over in the 30s, and you'll see where Sennacherib comes and all that host from Assyria comes up to Jerusalem. And they start, you know what they start doing? And it's not long before the angel of the Lord strikes them and just wipes out the army. Well, that is making the Lord your sanctuary. It is the sense of absolutely putting your confidence in Him, seeing that He is above all things, recognizing that He is willing to answer prayer, humbling yourself and confessing your need, and then just running under His wings like the little chick does to the mother chicken and saying, "Help me, protect me." And He is more than willing to do it. Now, what's this other thing about being a rock to strike and a stone to stumble over, or vice versa? It was this, that the background of this story is that the northern kingdom, Israel, and right north of him, Syria, and that would be Samaria of Israel and Damascus of Syria, they were going in league together. And they're saying, "Let's go down and just take the king off the throne there in Jerusalem. Let's take it for ourselves." And Isaiah stands up and says, "No, it's not going to happen. You need to trust God. You need to believe in Him. You need to recognize that He is the King and the Lord over all things." And they are saying, "That's just treasonous talk. That's conspiracy." And so when your contemporaries, you're speaking the things of God, the name of the Lord, the very power of the Most High, and you're speaking truth, and everyone around you says, "Nonsense, that's conspiracy." No, you're not to fear, verse 12, what they fear, or to be in dread of it. "It's the Lord whom you should regard as holy. He shall be your fear, and He shall be your dread." You've got a choice to make, don't you? Asa had a choice to make. We read this good story of King Asa. You follow out another chapter or two after that good story, what happens? He stumbles a bit. Let's see if I can find that. Chapter 16 of 2 Chronicles. You need to read these two together. "In the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from going out or coming in to Asa, king of Judah." What does Asa do? Before, he just cried out to God. But no, he says, he brought out the silver and the gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and the king's house, and he sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who lived in Damascus, saying, "Let there be a treaty between you and me, as between my father and your father. I've sent you silver and gold. Go break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me." Now he's changed course, hasn't he? Has he put his trust in God? Has he put his trust in silver and what it can buy for him with the kings of this world, the might of Damascus? Hire them, cause them to break their treaty with the house of Ephraim, Israel just to the north. So they leave us alone. And so it looked like it prospered. And it seemed to work. But there's this guy named Hanani, the seer. And he came to Asa. And he said to him, "Because you have relied on the king of Aram or Syria, and you've not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped out of your hand." What's the lesson as you read the life of Asa? The lesson is that God will be to us whatever we ask Him to be. If we put ourselves in the position of Asa in the early years and just come before God and say, "We can do nothing. You've got to help us." He will be a sanctuary. Or put it in the words of Isaiah, "He becomes our fear. He becomes our dread," capital H, the Lord Himself. Then He becomes a sanctuary to His people. We start losing our trust in Him. We start abandoning the confidence of our faith. We jettison this, like Mark was saying Sunday. We just kind of let stuff go. It slips away from us. And where's our devotion? And where's our confidence? And where's our trust? And the next thing we know, we're stumbling. And the Lord said, well, to house, both the houses of Israel is a stone to strike and a rock to stumble. Ah, but is this not encouraging? Is it? It's convicting, but it's encouraging too. I just share this with you that our God is a sanctuary to us, and he is a place of refuge for his people. And he is that whether they're doing well spiritually or not. Let's just say that. You remember what he said to the people who'd gone off to Babylon? You remember that great place? What did he say? I was a sanctuary to you there for a little while. And there they were being chastened, being disciplined by the Lord in a far-off country. And the Lord himself, yet for all that, he was a sanctuary to his people, a place of refuge, a place where they were, what, 1,200, 1,500 miles away from the temple? But they had a sanctuary. Oh, what did the old people of God, I mean the Jews, what would they say to us in psalm form? Oh, trust in the Lord. Trust in him. They would say that to each other. They would encourage one another. They'd pick up their own hands and their hearts, and they would say, oh, trust in him. Because when you do, he is to us a sanctuary. All right, now let's pray, and let's ask the Lord to help us and be with us.